Well, today we continue, and we're on actually session 17 of The Great Adventure, and it's talking about writing your personal mission statement. I'm going to do something a little different today to kind of get you thinking about these different personality parts. I'm going to make it a little more personal. And so as you hear me give a scenario, I want you to think about what personality part this most represents. And so take a listen to the story as I tell it and see how this plays out in your mind. Hank glides through the front doors of the company office complex as if he were walking on a carpet of air. He feels youthful, useful, and accepted. "Good morning, George," Hank says to the security guard, a kindly man with whom he feels a natural affinity. "I heard about your wife being sick. I'm really sorry for the difficult time you are having. You know how much I care about you and Mary. In fact, my wife has made some delicious chicken soup for her, and if it is all right, I would like to bring it by tonight." So which one is that? If you guessed harmonizer, you're correct. That's the personality part. The viewpoint is I feel. The currency that is used is one of compassion. So that's what Hank is. Take a listen to the next one. Okay, here's the next one. Art methodically computes his first hour's schedule and workload even as he strolls briskly through the office complex doors. "Good morning," Art says to the security guard. "Can you let me into the computer room, please? Old George really looks tired this morning. I think I'd better say something to perk up his morale." "Thanks, George," Art says as George unlocks the door. "You are a man we can count on day in and day out." Art glances at his watch. "Just 8 minutes before I have to be at my desk, but I have got to make certain that the night staff has the proposal properly collated." The proposal is Art's latest extra project, an efficiency study designed to enhance shipping and receiving operations. As he reviews the paperwork, he thinks, "I am just certain this cost-effective plan will impress the senior vice president." Now, what personality part is that? Yep, Art is the achiever. He's the I think viewpoint person. And his currency is logic. That's what he carries around with him. He can't help it. That's part of his makeup. Okay, here's the next one. See if you can guess. Pete is evaluating some issues to be discussed at the afternoon meeting as he arrives at the office complex a half hour early. "I believe that management will continue to recognize my commitment to the organization," he decides. "And it is excellent timing that I have just volunteered to serve on the selection committee for the new training program. Certainly, they will realize that my committee work involves extra time that I am not paid for. I have just got to be sure the boss knows the full extent of my contributions." Pete then notices that a young man who was hired just last week as a company courier is leaving the building with a bank satchel in one hand and a deposit slip in the other. "How many potential robbers are seeing the same thing I'm seeing?" Pete asks himself as the young runner dashes outside. "I need to make a memo to that young man's supervisor suggesting that all couriers put company money in a nondescript valise to attract less attention and cut down on the risk to company funds. I will do that as soon as I get to my desk." So what personality part is that? Yep, Pete is a persister. He evaluates. I evaluate. And the currency for him is values. That's what he holds tightly to. That's what is important. Keep thinking. Let's look at this next one. Dean sits quietly in his car in the parking lot, transfixed for a moment by a sudden idea about the office complex environment. A novel idea triggered by a recent article. It may solve the recurrent problem of drastic changes in conference room temperatures, he muses. Imagine if solutions to mundane problems seem to spring naturally from Dean's introspective mind. The morning rain enhances Dean's reflective nature. He makes a quick note of the idea for room temperature control and then pauses again to watch the frantic action in the parking lot. People are dashing everywhere in a vain attempt to keep dry. In marking contrast to the rainy day action, Dean opens his umbrella and walks calmly into the office complex. He slips quietly past the crowded break room and makes a straight path toward his office. So what is Dean's personality part? Yep, he's a dreamer. It's I reflect. And his currency is imagination. Let's keep thinking. We've got a couple more here. Carl had taken the long way around to the company offices so that he could window shop in the retail concourse on the opposite side of the office complex entrance. The concourse was extra crowded because of the rain. Carl liked the hustle and bustle. It added a touch of excitement to the brisk morning. To Carl's surprise, he noticed that the elegant woman approaching one of the escalators was the senior vice president's wife. Then he suddenly realized that her mink coat was about to be snared by the escalator steps. He dashes to her side to prevent the unfortunate accident. "Oh, goodness, thank you, Carl," she said. "My privilege, Mrs. Watson," he replied. "Don't let that gorgeous fur get even one blemish on it, especially a mink that looks so stunning on its wearer. By the way, have you heard anything about that important meeting your husband has scheduled for this afternoon?" So what is Carl? Carl is a catalyzer, and his viewpoint is I act, and his currency is charm. So we see that in Carl in the way he conducts himself. Okay, last one here. Ernie stands in the middle of a loud and laughing group of coworkers in the office break room. He shows off his new electronic version of Rubik's Cube. "Okay, Ernie, but let's hope that you don't solve this cube the way you solved the first one," an office buddy was saying. "At least not before we get a shot or two at solving it ourselves." Like the ancient emperor who had unsheathed his sword to cut the Gordian knot, Ernie had gained a degree of office fame by once breaking a Rubik's Cube into its many parts to help him solve its mysteries. "Here's where it is at, Dee Dee," Ernie shouts out the door to Doris, whose only acknowledgement is a simple nod. "And you, John, where did you get that wild cowboy hat?" he said to the new staff artist as he walks dripping raindrops into the room. "Are you doing Redford or Newman?" In a twinkling, John quips, "You can call me Rain Dance." His lightning wit, knowledge of movie trivia, and spontaneous humor elate Ernie. "Rain Dance, that's fast on the draw, artist. We'll do fine." So Ernie is an energizer. He's one that his viewpoint is, I react. And his currency is humor. And so we've gone down through all six: harmonizer, achiever, persister, dreamer, catalyzer, and energizer. And we need to, as we get to know people and their personality parts and their viewpoints, because of that, we determine which viewpoint a person is fluent in and speak his or her language when you want to connect. This will win the day. So I want you to think about, if you were to go into another country, more often than not, you have to change over to the currency that works in that country. you went to Italy, you'd have to do that. If you went to Russia, you'd have to do that. If you went to Canada, you'd have to do that. Sometimes they take American money, but many times you have to make a change. And it makes it much more effective by doing that. So, do you truly want to communicate to the people around you, the people you love, the people you care about, and people you're getting to know? You stop and think about the currency that you use sometimes. So if you have a wife that's a harmonizer and she feels something and she says, I just don't feel like things are going well right now. And if you're an achiever, you're like trying to nail this down. So you're, when did you start feeling that way? Was it at 9 this morning? Was it 1? I don't know. I don't know when I started feeling that way. I just feel this way. Well, I'm getting a headache just thinking about it. Well, did you take an aspirin? Did you take some ibuprofen? And so it's constantly trying to communicate with different currency. And there's nothing wrong with that unless it's constantly the case where you are never trying to understand where that person is coming from. And for a moment, go with their currency than yours. Because logically, the achiever would be like, okay, if we could figure out what time this happened, and if you take something, it would take care of it, when maybe the harmonizer is feeling something and wants you to feel it too. You will work towards solutions eventually, but that your wife would know that you hear her. You'd get the response of, man, you're finally listening to me. And it didn't change any of the ways you're thinking. It was more how you respond to them. So think about that. And as you think about the fact of someday putting together your own personal mission statement, that has bearing on how you're going to conduct yourself, how you're going to put things together. So maybe you have taken a test and you've figured out what your personality structure is, and you come to the understanding that, oh, these are the strongest personality parts that I have. And as a result of the descriptive words that best describe those strengths, and we've gone through those before. If you want to, you can listen to earlier times together. Then you have an understanding, okay, this is what this looks like. And because your base personality part, the one that's the thing that you go to first, is this, you tend to view life, view the world through a blank first lens, whatever that is. And you then see what your motivator is, the wants and needs that make you come alive. And you are motivated by that. And then thinking about the subject matter or the resources that you enjoy working with most. Maybe it's data. Maybe it's people. Maybe it's things. And as you think about that and you look at your abilities, based on the strengths of your personality, you have unique God-given abilities in those different areas. And then the setting starts to come into view of what works best, the environment that works best when you want to express that. And then the relationship is the type of leadership or supervision under which you work most productively. You see, so as you think about that stuff, you could start to put together something that makes you have an understanding, oh, this is why I am this way. This is why I'm wired this way. And this makes me most effective. And we can't expect the world to always have all the green lights while we're driving down the road. We're going to come across people that could care less about our personality type. And we're going to have to work with them. But with what we can control to be the most effective we can be, we start to have an understanding. This is my skills. This is what works. And go with it.